Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 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 Real one. Yeah, yeah. 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 Real one.
You're listening to 3CR's Disability Day broadcast. I'm Pauline Vituna. Recently, I caught up with Radio Skid Row's Lima, aka Listic, a Samoan audio engineer and broadcaster with a disability. We talked about ableism, community radio, lockdowns, and solidarity with First Nations people with disabilities. Based on Gadigal land, Radio Skid Row brings together marginalised communities to deliver conscious independent radio from Sydney's inner west. Radio Skid Row has been broadcasting for 37 years, and Lima has been with the station for 20 of those years, having found his way to the Marrickville station at the age of 13, where he began to make and play music on the airwaves. We join Lima here, talking about employment barriers as a person with a disability.
Basically, for me, it started like this. I would take any job. Once I was working on the back of a truck, doing rubbish removal, furniture removal, everything, anything on the back of a truck. One day, I think someone got injured and decided to sue for it because of their injuries. I don't even think that was work-related. I think that was someone getting injured at the beach and they decided to sue the council. After that, my life changed. After that, employers were like, oh, well, you might slip and fall. I don't know if you could see your way enough around the office or the factory, or, you know, we can't really accommodate. And it was always that we haven't got the facilities to deal with your disability. And I'm like, well, I don't really need any facilities. That's what I have a white cane for, and, you know, so I can get around. So after that, yeah, it was really hard. Struggled to get a job, to do anything. And, you know, the other side of the fence, it's you were talking about the you know, the money switch. It's almost like you can't have money. Like, people think it's weird if you're, you know, if you're disabled and have money. You know, I've been asked some weird questions. I'm like, well, you know, some people who are, you know, have low vision or they actually own limousines. Like, they actually are pretty well off. They get chauffeur driven. So, you know, I wouldn't underestimate them.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. There's so many, like, toxic ideas about welfare and about the fact that people think you need to earn it in some way. And people have all sorts of judgments about how people on all sorts of government pensions spend their money. They make assumptions about disabled people having access to pensions, which is not true for the majority of disabled people that I know personally. And so, yeah, and then, of course, like you just said, there's so many barriers to getting employment. You, as you were speaking, I just realized we haven't actually talked about your disability. So could you just talk a little bit about that?
I don't really get offended with much. So I'm blind. I have low vision, whatever, however you'd like to say it, vision impaired. You know, there's a whole, you get the point.
Yeah.
So I've probably about 10% vision, maybe 5% sometimes. Yeah. So my retinas don't reflect enough light. So it's really, especially in the dark, I can't really see anything. It has to be a nice sunny day for me to see, but I get along. I usually remember where I am, remember exactly where a step is, and it looks like I can see, so people don't believe me. I do up old classic cars, so it's really hard to believe that I have low vision sometimes, because I can even remember how, like, if I put the car in gear, I know how far to go before I hit the end of the driveway. Yeah. You know, as long as there's no one standing in front of me, I'm fine. It's, you know. But, yeah, it's really hard to be believed when you do stuff like that. I even jump on a motorbike sometimes and go around a paddock, because if I fall over, it's only the mud. It's not going to hurt that much. So, yeah.
That is fantastic. We have to talk about doing up the cars now that you mentioned it. How long have you been doing that?
I think since I was about 15, so probably 25 years. Yes, it's all, I don't know why I got into it. Maybe it's because I can't get a license and can't drive down the street. I used to have my own bikes. I haven't had them for a long time because like, now there's nowhere to legally ride. Yeah, so I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. Real one. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Real one. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Something that we talked about, you and I talked about yesterday, was the fact that both of our cities have experienced really intense lockdowns. And I was wondering if you'd talk about, from your perspective, the impact that's had on the Radio Skid Row community and the disability community in Gadigal country.
Yeah, it's very hard, especially for the Skid Row community. There's a lot of the people that wanted to do their shows didn't really have the technology. And for a lot of people, it's their outlet. They need to do their shows. It's you know, it's really good for them mentally. They're like helping people, you know, being helped by others. It's all a come together thing. So it was really hard for them to try and set up a broadcast from home or even a pre-record from home. Big issues. And, you know, a lot of depression, obviously, from Western Sydney. You know, there were choppers everywhere. I mean, I remember my house. There were police cars patrolling past this, you know, the house all the time, and helicopters. And it was like a military state, basically. For the people with disabilities, I was listening to the news and they said, okay, we're prioritizing people with disabilities to get a vaccine. And I called people from the NDIS and I called my LEC. I called, you know, my coordinator. And as far as they're concerned, they had nothing. There was no help for people with disabilities to get the vaccine. And so I was confused. I'm like, well, the news said we're prioritized. So, and I can't get a shot in Sydney right now.
Yeah.
So, I had to go through the usual channels. Over here, you couldn't really, I was booked for an appointment and then they cancelled it. And then I had to go all the way into the city just to get my vaccine. I had to do it twice, obviously, for the double jab. Yeah, very hard, very confusing. If you were disabled and couldn't really get around all that well, yeah, yeah. Very, very bad.
Yeah, real one. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Real one. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, in terms of the broadcast this year, Disability Day, the theme this year is grounding disability justice. And the focus of this year is really looking at First Nations disabled people's leadership and ideas around sovereignty, how to be in solidarity with First Nations people with disabilities. And so I guess if I could ask one more question, it would be about how Radio Skid Row connects to First Nations communities in the Sydney area and disabled members of the community.
Like I was saying, like Skid Row was a Redfern station. I mean, and I grew up in Redfern, massive Indigenous population. And, you know, it was really sad to see it go, actually, when they knocked down everything and when they, you know, the block has now been sold and you go back there and there's apartments up. Really sad. And I guess Skid Row is one of the last places I know that remind me of Redfern and therefore the Indigenous community, like First Nations people. They've always been out there. Like I said, they are a sister station to Kui Radio, which is that's the First Nation station in Sydney. So and anything goes. I would like to do more interviews with Indigenous, with First Nations people, and you know, just to dig deep into the culture. And to be honest, you don't see a lot of disabled First Nations people coming up, and I'd love to know why that is. You know, I mean, you see a lot of other you know, different backgrounds coming up, but you know, you don't see many. You either see a First Nations people or disabled people, not not all in one, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know why, and I'd like to probably see a lot more of that. Yeah.
I said I know that it can be like that, that sometimes it can be like that.
Have you heard of long COVID? If you or someone you know have had COVID-19, you may still experience symptoms weeks or months later. There are many symptoms of long COVID, but the most frequent are extreme tiredness, shortness of breath, and muscle aches and joint pains. Anyone can experience long COVID, including children. You can find information in your language on the Health Translations website, healthtranslations.vic.gov.au. Just type long COVID as a keyword.
A 3CR supporter.